Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am going today, you know, we've done one show where I talked about whether or not the Lakers should sign Dion Waiters. I have done, you know, the format of that show was very similar to whether or not I thought the Lakers should trade Kyle Kuzma or whether I thought they would. Now the Lakers are faced with another choice. They reportedly, according to Tanya Ganguly and Shams Charania, Ganguly of the LA Times, Charania of The Athletic, they worked out, the Lakers did, they worked out the currently unemployed former soup throwing J.R. Smith and the also currently unemployed enjoyer of edibles Dion Waiters. You can kind of see the kind of choices that you have when you try to fill your roster on March 2nd. And you know, we're waiting to see. Now, the report coming out of Waiters' workout was that he impressed physically. Now, you know, a lot of this is going to be spin on behalf of the players that are being involved here. But apparently Waiters impressed them physically, and now we just wait to see who impresses more between the two, not just on the court, but off the court in their interviews or in their meetings with Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel. And apparently Kurt Rambis really wanted his name to be involved in this too. So, you know, we'll see how all those things go. Today's show, I'm going to talk about the benefits or the case for Waiters and the case for Smith. And then the final segment, we'll try to figure out who between the two of them the Lakers should pursue. All right, so let's start with, who did I say? Waiters? I forget. We're going to start with Waiters. We've been over this before. The Lakers could really use another ball handler, right? That's what this comes down to. They still are going to struggle in those minutes, especially down the stretch of this season, and given how much time LeBron is probably going to spend off the court as the Lakers kind of try to rest him up and get him ready for playoff play. But Waiters allows you to be able to do that and also can do some stretching of the floor. Waiters, neither of these guys are going to be very good defensively. Neither of these guys are probably going to play significant roles on this team. So, you know, what's on the line here isn't probably very much. Both of these guys are going to be considered kind of upside moves in the hopes of getting more out of this roster spot than they would have been getting from Troy Daniels, who, you know, it also should mention here as well regarding Troy Daniels. This felt, at the very least, mutual, if not him asking to be released, given, you know, how few minutes he was going to play heading down the stretch of the season. So, and then getting ready for the playoffs. I do think in Waiters' case, a point that should be pointed out is that, you know, seeing as LeBron is going to be sitting as much as he is, as he will be, that's kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, it helps because that gives you more opportunity to figure out what Waiters might be able to do running the offense, seeing as LeBron will be playing. But on the other hand, it'd be kind of nice to see if Waiters and LeBron could, you know, play together for some stretches. Let's say Waiters has it going one game. You don't want to have to take Waiters out just because LeBron is coming in and you have to then, you know, bring in LeBron. So if it's Waiters that you go with here, you now have 25-ish games or so. Probably a nice chunk of those games, LeBron's probably going to be sitting. And even in those games that he's playing in, he's not going to be really stretching himself very much. So you do have, you're going to get a nice long look at whether Waiters can actually fulfill the role that you need him to fulfill. You know, the concern here with Waiters, as we said in yesterday's show, is not just the maturity things, because if the Lakers sign Waiters, it'll be because Pelinka and LeBron and everybody involved will have bought what Waiters sold them in terms of where he is mentally and psychologically. The concern that I have here is, well, if Waiters is coming on and is expecting consistent minutes, where are you going to get those minutes from? And so far, those minutes would probably, unfortunately, like, logic tells you those minutes would come from Rajon Rondo. Unfortunately, though, that's not how the season has gone, right? Because according to logic, those Rondo minutes would have gone elsewhere throughout the course of the season anyway. So if they aren't going to come from Rondo, and they probably aren't going to come from Avery Bradley, where are you going to get those minutes from? And the only other player that plays the same kind of position that Waiters plays is Alex Caruso. And so are you now going to risk, you know, getting less from Caruso than you have all season just to bring on somebody who, you know, is probably best slated for a 14th or 15th man role anyway? So, you know, what we'll get to here in a bit, you know, the difference between Waiter's role in the position he plays and J.R. Smith's role in the position he plays. But that's a pretty big risk that doesn't really present itself in the case of J.R. Smith. And we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, I'm going to explain why that same risk isn't at play in terms of what happens if you add J.R. Before we get to the downside that doesn't present itself with Smith in the same way that it might with Dion Waiters, I want to just spend some time focusing on Smith himself, the player, and why the Lakers might be interested, why LeBron might be interested. And look, it's pretty straightforward. Somebody, you know, it's one of those accounts that they always tweet stuff like, you know, back in the day, J.R. Smith was a problem. And then you have the, you know, back in the day, so-and-so just always had it. And then they also will sometimes will go with the straw man argument of like, and you guys told me Kobe couldn't pass. Like, no, nobody ever said that, you know, nothing, that never happened. But regardless, I was watching one of those highlights here with Smith, and it was insane how talented this dude was. And you're kind of seeing that as a trend here between the guys that the Lakers have been buying in on, trying to buy low on, right? Didn't work out with Michael Beasley, did work out with Dwight Howard. Might it work out with Dion Waiters? Might it work out with J.R. Smith? You know, whatever it is, they're looking at guys who either, you know, are hoping to get one last look at, you know, some success in the NBA, or are hoping to fight and claw their way to more time in the league. And so far, like I said, it's worked out with Dwight Howard. J.R. Smith is probably a little closer to the end of his career anyway, so this is probably his last hurrah. But you kind of look at, you know, what is it that J.R. Smith would bring to the table? Well, he's a little bit bigger than Dion Waiters. He's a little bit bigger than the shooting guards that the Lakers have on the team. Now, when you're bigger as a shooting guard and you lose some athleticism to Father Time, it's not quite the same thing as when you lose some athleticism from as like a small forward and then hope to slide down to the power forward spot, right? Because you lose some athleticism, maybe you bulk up a little bit, and you use some of the athleticism you had as a small forward and use that to your benefit as a power forward while also being able to space the floor. Well, the problem with former shooting guards who are now hoping to slide down to the small forward, you're still talking about the same caliber of athlete, if not better caliber of athlete. So if you lose athleticism as a shooting guard and now have to guard those small forwards, well, you're just guarding a larger, potentially more athletic version of you, which would be a problem for J.R. Smith, who was never a good defender anyway. Now, you know, and the other thing too is, as I said, with small forwards sliding down to the four or power forwards sliding down to the five, is like you can further space the floor as a four or a five than you can from like the three spot compared to the two spot. Most threes and twos are going to be comparable as shooters, so you don't necessarily add anything to the spacing on the floor from the small forward spot coming down from the shooting guard spot in the same way that, you know, you might with going from a power forward to the center or small forward to the power forward spot. It's basically, I need to put this in a better way, but the wings are natural floor spacers. That's just an inherent expectation from that position. With forwards and centers, it's a it'd be nice if that guy spaced the floor, right? Especially if you have a five who spaces the floor, you don't need your four to space the floor as much. But you kind of need both of your wings to be able to space the court. And, you know, when you slide down from shooting guard to small forward, you don't necessarily add anything spacing-wise. So that's why it is kind of harder for shooting guards to age compared to your wings, right? Wings are probably going to have longer careers in this era because they have that option to just slide down a spot, whereas shooting guards don't really. If things work out here with J.R. Smith, the kind of role I think that makes the most sense for him, and he would probably sign up for, is, all right, KCP doesn't have it tonight. Danny Green doesn't have it tonight. Avery Bradley doesn't have it tonight. Let's just throw you in there for 5 minutes, see if you can kind of get it going, get hot quickly, and make up for what Bradley, Green, or Caldwell Pope aren't bringing on any given night. That becomes less necessary come playoff time, and neither of these guys, I don't think, are really going to play a role come playoff time. But in this case, Smith would be more of a luxury, whereas Deion Waiters is actually filling more of an actual technical need. So that's kind of where you're at here between these two players. Now, as I said at the end of segment one, there is some inherent risk because of the role that Waiter, or because of the position that Waiters plays. He's a combo guard who can come in and spell LeBron with some creative abilities and also space the floor on offense. Not going to be a presence defensively. The Lakers have somebody on their roster who could technically fulfill that role and do it better than probably even Deion Waiters can in Alex Caruso. And if you bring Waiters in and he expects to play a certain amount of time and you bend to that will, well, now you're risking Alex Caruso's minutes. There's no such risk here with J.R. Smith because, you know, he's not, there's no situation here where he takes minutes away from Avery Bradley or KCP or Danny Green. Like, that's not happening. Those guys are going to play. They have earned their minutes. They have enough political sway in the locker room to make it as such that they are not going to lose minutes, no matter how good a fit J.R. Smith is. Whereas Alex Caruso doesn't have that political sway and could potentially lose some time to Waiters if you know, Rich Paul demands it, right? Or you know, if Frank Vogel refuses to take some time away from Rondo. So that lack of a risk. So what it comes down to between these two guys, and I'm going to talk about it more here in a second, but what it comes down to with these two guys is fit on the team in terms of need versus mitigation of risk, and which of those two things are more important. So the Lakers have three options. They can either go with Deion Waiters, they can go with J.R. Smith, or they can keep that roster spot open and maintain flexibility moving forward in case somebody gets hurt and you now have a need that you desperately need to fill. So as an example, well, no, that wouldn't even matter because Jordan Bell was waived after the deadline. But let's say, you know, one of the bigs gets hurt, either JaVale or Dwight, and the Lakers decide that they want to go out there and find a big who was waived before the deadline and can now go out and sign that player, right? If you fill the roster spot right now and that need presents itself, well, you find you're going to be kind of screwed, right? You're going to have to scramble and waive somebody else to fulfill that need, depending on how desperate a need it is. So, you know, of the three options here, we got to figure out which makes the most sense. The case for Waiters is pretty clear. The Lakers have always, for the vast majority of the season, really struggled to have a creative presence who can help carry the load while LeBron is out there. Also step in and space the floor and make some sense alongside James when they're out there together. And can provide some scoring punch from, you know, Troy Daniels' former spot in the rotation, where they weren't getting anything from him. So Wader's case is there to be made, and if they go in that direction, then you know it kind of makes some sense. Again, there's risk involved, and I personally would push back against it, but that's kind of where we find ourselves. The case for Smith can't hurt to have as many shooters around LeBron as possible, and this is somebody that LeBron trusts. This is somebody who, you know, we all will always kind of remember Smith for his exit from the league, where there was a story where he threw soup at, oh man, I can't believe I'm blanking in the name, but a Cleveland Cavaliers, Damon Jones, I forget, but he threw soup at an assistant coach, and at one point dribbled the wrong direction when he could have, you know, helped ice a game or keep the Cavs in a game. And you know, I don't think he altered history by doing that, but it was a moment that will go down forever. And, you know, all that, even with that said, it's pretty telling that, you know, the Lakers, just from a talent standpoint, that Smith is talented enough for the Lakers to remain interested, given some of those hiccups on and off the court. And it says something that LeBron is saying, well, look, stuff happens, I guess, and we could use another shooter, and is willing to overlook that gaffe in the season's biggest moment. So you go from there to what need that he fills. I don't know if he necessarily fulfills a need per se, like a specific need. You know, every team needs shooting. The Lakers specifically could use more shooters, and thus J.R. Smith makes sense because the Lakers need as much shooting around LeBron and AD as possible. But in terms of specific needs, like, he doesn't guard wings. He's not going to help you against bigger wings. He doesn't handle the ball well enough to help you in that regard. It is just shooting that he would help here. And then, you know, finally, the final option here that they could, the final direction they could go here is, like I said, you keep that roster spot open just in case something happens. And, you know, I don't think the demand for either Smith or Waiters is such that those guys won't be available, you know, a week from now or a couple weeks from now, just in case something like that happens. Eventually, there is another deadline that a player has to be added by in order to be playoff eligible. But, you know, for all intents and purposes here, the Lakers, you know, they could keep this spot open, give some more time to see if, say, Quinn Cook steps up and is able to do some of the things they need from Waiters, or they see if Rondo is able to, you know, kind of harness some of what he has figured out maybe in the game against the Celtics, and then in the game against Golden State, where they played a lot faster with him on the court. You know, if they can figure those things out and get away with not adding those guys, personally, I think that might be the route I would take. I would probably keep that roster spot open, and I would probably see if need presents itself. That means you're that kind of flexible to be able to do so. And look, like, if you add Waiters and a big gets hurt and you now have to drop somebody else to be able to sign a big, and it isn't quite working out to where Waiters has blown you away, then fine. You can wave Waiters all over again and add the big or whatever other player that you need to get by while the player who got hurt recovers. Or if they don't recover, you now find somebody who might be able to offer up some of that production while that player is out. I think personally that's the direction I would go. I don't think that's the direction the Lakers are going to go. I think we'll probably get some news, you know, by the time you guys are listening to this today, in the next couple days, about how the meetings went and who the Lakers might be looking to add. And if they add somebody, then Pete and I will jump on here and discuss what exactly it is that those guys offer and why the Lakers might have gone in the direction that they went. But you know, at least now, whenever they make that decision, you guys are as informed as you can possibly be about what went into it potentially. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. A bit of a shorter one today, off day. It's just me. You don't want to hear me talk a bunch. But we do have, you know, plenty of fun ahead of us. The Lakers have an incredible streak of tough games here. I believe they have Philly, the Clippers, and, man, there's a third team here that I should probably know who they're playing. But they have a nice streak of games, tougher games here that they're going to be facing. Pete and I will be here to talk to you through that. And then whatever decision that they make with this open roster spot, if they choose to fill it, if they choose to keep it open, whatever direction they go in, we will be here to talk you through that. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.